What are your thoughts when you see someone driving in the rain with their windows down?
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. The NBA schedule has been released, so I'm going to talk about it from a fantasy basketball perspective in today's show. Michael Bolton, he wants to know about all the schedule nitty-gritties, so
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. A couple of items of business before we do start off. Quick thing, if you are, I'm almost finished the Basketball Monster projections, the first pass through. So if you're watching this on YouTube, this is just for YouTube viewers, so if you listen to this audio, go across to the YouTube, give it a watch and leave a comment below. I'm going to pick two people out of the comments, comment a player's name, and I will tell you what their rank is or their projected rank is at the moment in 8-cat, 9-cat, and points league. So if you want to know one specific player's rank before the projections go live, leave a comment and I'll pick two people at random from the comments and give you those guys' rankings down there. The next thing is all the head-to-head Red Rock Challenge Leagues have been filled. I've got points and Roto Leagues still available. Now, one thing interesting is my partner said to me, hey, I want to play fantasy this season. She's never seen the NBA. She knows nothing about sports really at all, never played any fantasy sports at all, but she wants to get into playing fantasy basketball. So she has joined one of the Red Rock Challenge Points League. She's determined to do it all by herself without assistance from me and really get into the league. So hey, if you want to take her on, you can find what league she's in and take her on there. But I think it's a good idea for people. I know the audience of this podcast is majority male, and for those of you with partners, try and get them involved. Maybe some of them are. Now, I tweeted this out yesterday, about four people replied to me, hey, I'm going to try and get my partner involved and get them into a league, into a points league as well, get things started off, and it's something that we can share together. There's absolutely no reason why your partners or any women in general shouldn't be playing fantasy basketball. This is a completely unisex sport and hobby. So getting more women involved is obviously massive for getting this sport to grow and this hobby to grow more. So hey, if your partner's interested in it, do one together. So my partner just came out and completely volunteered her services to jump in and wants to get involved in that. So you can find her in one of the Red Rock Challenge Points Leagues. Let's talk NBA schedule. In general, I'm not a big schedule guy, especially when drafting. People put so much emphasis on it, and in general, it screws them up. I'm drafting Otto Porter because he's got a 4-4-4 playoff schedule, and then they get traded, or then they get injured, or then they get rested. So much stuff changes, or a game gets canceled because of flooding in the roof, and things change. So in general, it does get overblown pretty significantly. There are certain things that we need to be paying attention to, which are going to drop guys down and change their overall value. In terms of playoff schedule, you shouldn't be basing all of your decisions on this. If players are very, very similar, then maybe you can make that change. But even then, you've got still a chance at the end of the season that those playoff schedules won't hold because of trades, because of rest, because of injuries, because of whatever is actually happening. But there are multiple things that we can talk about that can have some sort of an impact. Yahoo Fantasy Basketball hasn't opened yet, so we don't know what their default playoffs are going to be. My understanding is that their default playoffs will be, and I hate using week numbers because then you get into the confusion. What do you do for All-Star Week? Is that merged into 1 week's name? Is there 2 weeks there? So I'm just going to give you the dates. My understanding is that the Yahoo playoffs will start on the 16th of March and finish on the 5th of April, which to me is way too long. That's 3 weeks, and that getting into April is terrible. Now, I believe that all leagues this season should finish on the 22nd of March. Yahoo doesn't give you that option, which is, again, piss poor on their behalf, and that's why you should be playing your leagues on Fantrax so you can actually change the date when your leagues finish. All of my Red Rock Challenge head-to-head leagues, categories and points, they will all finish on the 22nd of March, and they will all be five-week playoffs. And by 5 weeks, the first week is a one-week matchup. Actually, it's a two-week matchup because it spans the All-Star break, but it's the equivalent of 1 week's worth of games. We go starting on the 10th of February, and that goes through to the 23rd of February. That's week one of the playoffs. And then we go from the 24th through to the 8th of March, and then from the 9th of March through to the 22nd of March. And people go, oh, that finishes things too early. That's fine. I would rather finish things too early, and I've got six teams out of a 12-team league playoff. I'd rather finish things too early and have the championship decided generally by who's got the best team, rather than the nonsense that happens in those final 3 to 4 weeks of the season where players are resting, where players have fake injuries, where rotations are all over the place, and we've got blokes like Jonathan Motley putting up 20 and 10s to decide fantasy championships. Now, Roto Leagues going to the end of the season is fine. Head-to-head leagues, I reckon the 22nd of March is your last date. And a 5-week playoff does tend to, you know, with 2 weeks per matchup for the last two rounds, I think is pretty important. Actually, it's a 6-week playoff, as I mentioned, 6 weeks in total time. It's really important to me. You've still got 16 weeks of the regular season, which is plenty long enough. It's the exact same length as a fantasy football season. And then we have the playoffs through the end there of the year. And that's why playing in roto leagues and head-to-head leagues, mixing up your league split. So you've got some of those leagues that do push through to the end of the season. And then you've got the head-to-heads as well that you concentrate in more of the playoffs at that point. So that's how my Red Rock Challenge leagues are set up. And I do encourage you guys to go and do the same when setting up your own head-to-head leagues if you're not involved in mine. If you are playing fantasy football, which I just mentioned, you should be listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny Iyer doing a great job over there, over 20 years covering fantasy football. You don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. Get yourself an edge by listening to Vinny and download and follow Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. All right, let's get into the schedule now and talk about a few things. And the number one thing I want to talk about is back-to-back games. And that's important because we're looking at guys who could potentially rest. Everyone wants to manage their load.
Giggity!
And we know that, I think that's a bit overblown, but it is important to know which teams have got these. Now, the most back-to-backs in the league is 14, the fewest is 11. So it's 3-game differences there. But the two teams we were really looking to see where it fell were the Clippers and the Philadelphia 76ers. For the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
And of course, for the process, Joel Embiid. Well, with 13 back-to-backs each, there's a legitimate chance. Now, Embiid did not sit back-to-backs last year. I think he sat one back-to-back last season. But the thing is, now that Al Horford is around, giving him those rests, I imagine he sits a couple of those back-to-backs during the season. Again, wasn't a problem for him last season. But Kawhi sat pretty much all back-to-backs, 2 games of some back-to-backs last season. Some of them he was injured for as well. I'm not certain that he's going to be sitting all 13 of these back-to-backs, but he will definitely sit a majority of them. And Paul George, I think, will sit some of them as well. So that dings both of those players, especially Paul George with a delayed start to the season. Also, there's a concern there with his shoulder. So the Clippers having 13 back-to-backs is a little bit troublesome in terms of that. The teams with the most back-to-backs, the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't imagine there's going to be that much rest for those guys for Atlanta. For Cleveland, that has an impact on Kevin Love, who was obviously injured for the majority of last season. He could come back and be a really strong force, but those 14 back-to-backs with his consistent leg and back issues is a real concern that he is going to have to sit out some of those games. The other teams with 13, the Dallas Mavericks, Kristaps Porzingis.
Porzingis.
That's a worry for us, whether he sits out a lot of those games, especially early on. The Nuggets have 13. The Pistons have 13. The Heat, the Timberwolves, the Knicks, the Thunder. Chris Paul on the Thunder, that's a concern. His per-game numbers could be really, really strong, but there's obviously injury worries there. The Sixers, the Suns, the Blazers, the Kings, the Raptors, and the Wizards, all with 13 back-to-backs. For 12, we've got the Celtics, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Spurs. And in the fewest back-to-backs, we've got the Brooklyn Nets, you've got the Warriors, which is great for those worried about Steph Curry and his load management. The Houston Rockets with Jimmy Harden and Russell Westbrook, a lot of people thinking that's going to be a problem. I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced that's a problem for Houston, nor am I convinced it's a problem for Curry. The Indiana Pacers have 11, the Bucks have 11, great for if you're looking to draft Giannis. The Orlando Magic and the Utah Jazz, they all have 11 back-to-back. So this is just giving you an idea that it does put a little bit of an increased element of risk on someone like Kawhi Leonard, on Joel Embiid, on Kristaps Porzingis there with those large load of back-to-backs. Same with Kevin Love. And it helps out Harden and Westbrook and Curry having those smaller amount of back-to-backs. They're the guys we were probably more worried about than other players. But again, I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue as what it's made out to be. Players, I think if they're going to sit games, it's going to be 5-6, not 10-15 most of the time, with the exception of someone like Kawhi. Maybe that is Embiid as well, but we will have to see. Next, let's look at quality games. If you don't understand the definition of a quality game, let me throw it to you. The NBA has an unbalanced schedule. There is not the same amount of games every day. So if you're a new person listening to this podcast, I bang on about quality games all the time. Now, over on Basketball Monster, we have quality games set at a default of 5. Now, what quality games means is, does the player play on a day where there are few games on? So traditionally, on the NBA schedule, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have limited amount of games. The NBA weekly schedule might go 9 games on a Monday, 5 on a Tuesday, 11 on a Wednesday, 4 on a Thursday, 9 on a Friday, 9 on a Saturday, 6 on a Sunday. Right, so in those Tuesday, Thursdays, those low volumes are really important. The way I look at it, if you're running a standard lineup with 10 active spots and 3 bench spots, that same sort of a split, if that's how your roster looks with that sort of, you know, 10 to 3, any sort of relative combination like that, if there is a day with 8 or fewer games on, you will generally be able to play every player on your roster. So to me, that is a quality game. As I said, the default we have on Basketball Monster is 5. So if there's 5 or fewer games, that counts as a quality game. I think that's way too restrictive. Now, if you've got a lineup like some of my Red Rock 30 Dynasty Leagues where you've got 5 active players and 7 bench guys, then that quality game designator has to come down a little bit, because if you've got 5 active out of 12, that is, you know, 5 out of 12 is less than 50%. And the most games you're going to have on a day is 15 games. So 50% of those is 7. So you're looking at probably 6 or 7 is a more realistic number. Probably 6 is a more realistic quality game designator for those leagues where you've got a bigger bench than starters. But on a standard 10-3 split, 8 or fewer, you will find maybe once during the course of the season that you won't be able to fit all of those players on those days. So what we look at here and why this is important is that you've got a bunch of people who are all playing on high or who don't play on the low volume days as many times. That means your roster is going to become more crowded and you're going to have days like Tuesday, like Thursdays, like sometimes on Sundays where you're not maximizing your games played. So you want as many guys as you can to play on those lower volume days. It becomes more important for the back end rounds, but really at any point, because if a guy's playing Tuesday instead of Wednesday, that means you're opening up that active roster spot on Wednesday for one of your other guys to jump in. And this is where there can be really significant discrepancies. For example, the Houston Rockets play 53 of their 82 games on low volume days, on quality game days. That's massive, meaning that the Hardens, the Westbrooks, you're tied in with their lack of back-to-backs, Eric Gordon's, Clint Capella's, you're going to be able to not only use these guys, because you're going to use Harden every day that he's active, but putting him on those days versus the 30 games that they play on the high volume days, it opens up spots for other people. So the Rockets have 53, the Portland Trailblazers, they have 51 quality games. So that's good for guys like Hassan Whiteside, Lillard, McCollum, yeah, probably more so for someone like Whiteside and Zach Collins, being able to use them majority of the time as back-end type guys. Maybe it increases the value of someone like Kent Bazemore or Rocket Rodney Hood, these players. Anthony Simons in deeper leagues, it helps him out too. The Nuggets and the Lakers also have 49 quality games based on my 8 game. And you can change that on Basketball Monster, go in and make that adjustment and see where those teams fit. For the Nuggets, it's great for someone like Farton Will Barton. It's nice for Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
It might be nice for someone like Monty Morris or Malik Beasley in those deeper formats. For Jeremy Grant, it helps as well getting to use these guys more often. So someone like Jeremy Grant especially, say he comes, is the 120th ranked player. If he was playing 35 games on quality days only, meaning 50 on those high volume days, there's a lot of those days where you won't be able to use him. But if he's playing 50 of them on the low volume days, then you get at least that more games out of him on those days. Really important. Same with the Lakers. Someone like a JaVale McGee, a Dan Green. They play 49 games on those quality days. You're going to be able to utilize them a lot more. So it does boost their value. On the low side, there are a bunch of teams with under 40, so under half of their games on quality game days. The worst of that is the Orlando Magic, who play just 31 quality games. Then there's the Indiana Pacers with 32. So that hurts those back end guys on those teams. Who we've got there. Malcolm Brogdon, does that hurt his value a little bit? Yeah, potentially. TJ Warren, does his value get hurt a little bit? Jeremy Lamb, depending on what happens with Victor Oladipo. In Orlando, what does this do for someone like Terrence Ross? It hurts Johnny Isaac, in my opinion. It's not hurting Nikola Vucevic as much as those guys. Aaron Gordon, those top-end guys, they're not as impacted by this. You'd obviously want them in these other areas, but it does hurt some of those low-round guys. So the other teams with low amounts of quality games, the Nets have 37, the Celtics and the Bulls both have 37, the Cavs have 39, the Pistons 38, the Warriors 38. So the Warriors is an interesting one with just those 38 quality games. The Grizzlies 38, the Heat 38, the Wolves 34, that's really low. The Knicks have 39, the Suns 38, the Raptors 39, the Jazz 36, and the Wizards 37. So those teams, yeah, under half of their games are on those higher volume days, or on those low volume days, sorry, meaning there is a bit more of a squeeze on what they're going to be able to do throughout the course of this season. just quickly mention to you guys to check out Locked On NFL. It's one of our most listened to. It is the most listened to NFL show on our network. Got the former NFL scout Matt Williamson offering his takes along with host Brian Peacock as your daily national podcast on the NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL on your favorite podcast provider. All right, let's look now at more into fantasy playoffs when looking at this. And I'm going to focus more on the Red Rock Challenge playoffs at this point. As I said, the 10th of February through the 22nd of March. There is a decent discrepancy here between games played. You're looking at the high-end players for the Dallas Mavericks, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Utah Jazz, and the Washington Wizards played 19 games over that five-week matchup period. Then at the lower end, the Detroit Pistons play five. So that really hurts someone like Andre Drummond. It hurts... It hurts Blake Griffin a bit there because over that playoff period, it is four games. Now, it's four games over five weeks or six actual weeks in the NBA, so it's one a week. It's not massive on a per-week basis, but it does have somewhat of an impact. The other teams who are looking relatively strong, the Hawks, the Nets, the Celtics, the Hornets, Warriors, Lakers, Grizzlies, Heat, Bucks, Pelicans, and Kings, they all play 18 games over that playoff period. On the worst end of things, the Rockets have 16, the Pacers have 16, the Clippers and the Knicks have 16, the Sixers, the Suns, and the Raptors all have 16 games through those playoffs. So a discrepancy there, where a smack bang in the middle, the Bulls, the Cavs, the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Magic, the Blazers, and the Spurs, they all play 17 games across those playoffs. But it's not just about games played. When are those games played? That is important. That ties back into the quality game theory. What are we looking at in terms of when these guys are playing, who's got back-to-backs during the playoffs, so there's more risk of these guys resting. It's not just I've got more games than you, because these guys might have 19 games, the Dallas Mavericks, but what if there's three back-to-backs in that period, and then Porzingis sits three of them, and Doncic sits two of them, and then they're down right at the bottom in terms of those games played. So that's, we're never going to know if they're going to sit at this point, but it is important to bear that in mind when making that decision. So, throughout the Red Rock Challenge playoffs, who has the most back-to-backs? The Wizards have five back-to-backs in that period. That is important, especially for someone like Bradley Beal, if they're looking to preserve him at all. Now, there's no one who's considered a major injury problem. Now, Isaiah Thomas, he's not going to be a high-priority guy anyway, but that is interesting to pay attention to. On the other side, the Nuggets have no back-to-backs. That's great news for drafting Nuggets. The Hornets, the Pistons, now they had only the 15 games, but only one back-to-back. So if Blake Griffin's dealing with any problems, that's good news there for him. The Rockets, the Pacers, the Clippers, the Magic, and the Raptors, they all have just one back-to-back. On the flip side, the Hawks, the Celtics, the Cavs, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Wolves, and the Jazz, they have four back-to-backs through the playoffs. And then in the mid-range there, the Nets, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Heat, the Bucks, the Pelicans, the Knicks, the Thunder, the Suns, the Kings, and the Spurs have three, and the Warriors, Sixers, and Blazers have two. So as I mentioned about the Dallas Mavericks, they have four back-to-backs. They had 19 games, but four back-to-backs during that period. So does that mean that Porzingis sits out at least one of those games across that period? And that would bring them down to playing just 15 games, exactly the worst, equal with the Detroit Pistons. So that is something to pay attention to. The other thing that's important is where your quality games sit. So if you've got more quality games in the playoffs, these fringe guys, these streaming guys, they're going to have more value. And over the Red Rock playoffs, the Charlotte Hornets and the Sacramento Kings have 13 quality games. We're on the bottom side, and there's a big discrepancy. The Pacers have six, and the Suns have just five. So those backup guys like McCall Bridges types, maybe even a Kelly Oubre for the Suns, ravishing Rick Rubio could be impacted. For the Pacers, does this impact TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb with just six quality games across the playoffs and not being able to use those guys as much during that time? So half of their games might be on high volume days and you don't get to use them as much. Now you can see all this over on the screen here on YouTube. I'll go through it quickly. 12 quality games to the Nuggets, Warriors, Rockets, Sixers, Blazers. The Thunder have 11. 10 for the Hawks, Celtics, Bulls, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, Pelicans, and Jazz. 9 for the Pistons, Grizzlies, Heat, Spurs, Raptors, and Wizards. Nets, 8 for the Nets, Cavs, Mavericks, and Wolves, while the Knicks and the Orlando Magic have 7. Now, based on some other notes about this, we have a couple of teams in the Red Rock Challenge playoffs who have two game weeks. In round two of the playoffs, the Bulls, the Nuggets, the Pistons, the Spurs, and the Raptors all have six games total. Some of those are two game weeks, not all of them, but they just have the six games total. And in the grand final matchup, a bunch of teams have six games, and the Pistons, the Pacers, and the Suns have just five games across the grand final matchup there. So that is important to note as well for those guys. On to the Yahoo playoffs. That's, again, assuming it's the 16th of March through to the 5th of April. There's not very much of a split here. In fact, 29 of the 30 teams have either 11 or 10 games, with just the Chicago Bulls sitting at 9. So the difference there is one game over 3 weeks. It is absolutely negligible in terms of drafting those guys because we don't know who's going to sit or anything like that. There's only one two-game week throughout the Yahoo playoffs, and that's the Nets. They have, in the first week of the playoffs, they have a two-game week. So that is important to note there. They have just that two-game week, and then they finish with a 4-4 schedule. But someone like Kyrie Irving in first round of the playoffs, Caris LeVert, only the two games. So let's look at how the back-to-back sit throughout the Yahoo playoffs. The Warriors, the Lakers, and the Wizards have 3 back-to-backs. Now, we talked earlier on about the Warriors having a low amount of back-to-backs, 11 in total, but in the Yahoo playoffs, they have 3 of them, the most out of anybody. So if Steph's going to rest back-to-backs, and because this is likely heading so late into the season, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson probably won't be playing these games. So that is, you know, they're at the real upper end there of where these guys are going to be sitting out, and that is really important. The Hornets, the Cavs, the Rockets, the Heat, the Bucks, and the Magic have no back-to-backs in the Yahoo playoffs, and then everyone else is either at 2 or 1, like the Hawks, Nuggets, Pacers, Grizzlies, Wolves, Pelicans, Knicks, Thunder, Sixers, Suns, Blazers, and Kings have 2, while the remaining teams, the Nets, the Celtics, the Bulls, the Mavericks, the Pistons, the Clippers, the Spurs, the Raptors, and the Jazz have 1. So the importance here, looking at Yahoo playoffs, the Mavericks have 1 back-to-back. Red Rock playoffs, the Mavericks have 4 back-to-back. So it is really dependent on where your playoffs sit as to where the value ends up lying. For the quality games, again, that's important and a big discrepancy here. On the upper end, the Kings have 9 games over those three weeks where they are on those low volume days. It boosts those guys like the pencil, Harrison Barnes, Barnesy. It boosts his value there. Not that he's a good fantasy player, but it does give him those extra games that he can be streamed in. On the flip side, the Nets, the Celtics, and the Knicks, just 4 quality games across that playoff period. That's disappointing. The Hawks, the same. The Hawks have 5. The Bulls, the Pacers, the Heat, the Bucks, the Magic, the Suns, and the Wizards all have 5 as well. Whereas on the better side of things, the Clippers have 8. The Blazers, the Spurs, and the Jazz also join them with 8. While the Rockets, Lakers, Timberwolves, Thunder, and Sixers all have 7. So that is important to pay attention to where those games play. It's not about volume of games. It's about volume of games some of the time. It's about where those games are played. It's about when those games are played. It's about the timing of that, who's potentially going to sit out, and a lot of it's guesswork. So that's why I'm saying don't put massive amounts of attention onto fantasy playoffs when you're drafting, but having an idea of this, having an idea of, wait, could my guys sit out more during this time? Will I be able to use these back-end guys? Now, a lot of the time you draft back-end guys and you take a flyer on them, and they're off your roster in 3 weeks. Again, paying that attention to them. It's more going to be important when making pickups, when planning playoffs out in advance and looking at these guys, but it could make a difference. And you see the discrepancy. Yeah, 11 or 10 games in fantasy playoffs, it doesn't really matter. 9 to 4 quality games, that can make a difference. That can actually turn someone from being a useful player into someone that, say you've got a fringe guy from the Nets, maybe it's Smoke and Joe Harris. You get 4 games from him out of the playoffs versus 9 games of Bogdan Bogdanovic. Oh, I know which one I would take, even though on a per game basis, maybe Harris is more useful. Maybe Jarrett Allen is more useful than The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, on a per game basis. But 9 games versus 4 games, give me the 9 every time. So that's really important to be able to pay attention to and to be able to at least use that when making your decisions, either in draft time or in trades or in free agency, all throughout the season. Having that idea burnt into your head that it's not just about the amount of games, it's about when they're played, is vitally important to having success in a fantasy basketball league. That'll do it for my analysis of the schedule. You can go check out the schedule over on Basketball Monster, basketballmonster.com/schedule grid. I'll put a link in the show notes and in the YouTube description as well. So go check that out. And remember, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to know a player's rank, leave a player name in the comments and I will give you that player's rank. 2 people out of the comments I will choose to give that rank to. Go and check out the Red Rock Challenge Leagues, Points and Roto Leagues. Take on my partner in one of those leagues and plenty of other knowledgeable people as well. Throughout those leagues, follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball, on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball, and the network at Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and on Instagram. And please, a 5-star review is excellent. It's a great way of supporting this show heading into the season. Tell your friends, share it on your socials, on your Insta, on your Twitter, on your Snapchats. I'm even though there's nothing I have on Snapchat, but hey, just tell people about the podcast. It is a great way of helping me out. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jalen Brunson.